and there are different types of clairvoyant ability. There's physical clairvoyant ability, where you actually see physical persons, places, and things. Like you close your eyes and look at your bedroom at home, or you look at your office, or you look at some individual in the third eye. Then there's one, the next level, where you're not seeing the physical setup, but you're looking at the emotional setup. So that's the second level of seeing, where you start seeing where the emotional responses are, where all the emotional content of the individual is. Now that'll come in patterns, as the physical sight of clairvoyance came in form, you will now have the sight of patterns within the third eye structure. Now this is different than the form, and it's less dense, so it's more expanded in the sight, and it doesn't have the limitations of physical form, but it has the limitations of emotional or movement of thought shadow. And so in the seeing, you are looking at the emotional shadow of the individual. Now there's also clairvoyant seeing that sees the thought form of the individual. And these thought forms, if you're looking towards your physical body and you're thinking, you go off right over the head of the individual. So you begin to watch their thought forms, and all of you see, I watch their thought forms and their energies, you see, going off over their head areas or around the head areas as the impulse comes over the nervous system, releasing the electromagnetic impulse in the ingrain in the brain. It releases that to the mind force. The mind force is surrounding the head. And so within that area, you will be seeing the thought form. So clairvoyance, if you see the thoughts of others. Then there's the clairvoyant ability to see what the person knows from their experiences, to see their experiences, physically, emotionally, mental experiences, what experiences they've had in their life. What we're talking about, all of this is on what they call the Akasha or the Akashic Record. And the Akasha or Akashic Record simply means on the light there is an impression. And in that impression in the light you are seeing. So you're seeing in the light of the individual, not in the physical body, not inside their brain, but in the mental light of the individual, you're seeing thought forms. And then if you look into their soul or psyche, you begin to see their experience and their knowledge. You can also take this to the next level of clairvoyance, which is the fifth level of seeing, and that is the seeing of the individual's creative power. What their ideas are, how they see is, where, what strata, what form, what concept they use to create with. And so you can take conceptual knowledge, insight into creativeness. Then you can look into their superconscious awareness. Now, the clairvoyant that sees the superconscious awareness is the clairvoyant or the sight of another individual. Now, when you're looking at the clairvoyant or individual state of the consciousness of an individual, you see where they are as a spiritual being, what level they are. You can see the pictures of their imagination. And I'll tell you, as I look at some of the pictures of some people's imagination, it's really gross. Because they're playing real nice and everything, but inside there's a terrible picture. And sometimes something that they're a spiritual wearing kids or a spiritual brother, and what they're doing, I watched this one man, he was undressing in his imagination all the women in the room. And he was making different visual images of touching the women and certain parts of the body, so on and so forth. And so his imagination is real corrupt, and he was standing there, we call them two-faced people, when they're acting one way and they're really some other way. And so here he was, he had this one face, and they're looking in perversion, and the other, he's trying to talk nice, you see. So I'm seeing the images of women doing the same types of things, or poor self-image, where they're fixing themselves, but they really got a clear image in themselves. And so you can see in their imagination, they've got a different image than what they're putting on. The persona breaks down, and you see what they truly see themselves as. Now, in that clairvoyance, you can also see their psychological image, where they pay attention. A psychological image is like this. When I look at pink here, I see white head area, I see a little chest area, I see whereon the big woman, a real protrusion of her stomach area, was really seen large and big feet. Okay? He's conscious of his feet, he's conscious of his bones, he's conscious of his stomach, he's conscious of his head, but he's not paying much attention to the other parts of his body. There is a psychological image there, that isn't a whole image, that isn't fitting the physical image. But all of us have psychological images. You might see some ladies that inside, they've got big hair and big butts and really skinny waist, new legs, new hips, and all the rest is little, but see that he takes himself and takes his head. Great big lips. Putting out there. You see? Some people are very conscious of their tongue, but they may have a psychological image of a great big tongue coming out of their big head and little body. So there's an image that the individual has of themselves in there. And then there's the way they're looking at others and imagining. And so you can, with the sixth level of clairvoyance, you can see the images and the imagination of another individual. Now in the seventh level, you can see their association with other forces and powers. The association with their family, the association with their husband and wife, the association with their group that they're working with, their community, their country, their race. All the different associations, well, how they associate with spirit, how they associate with altered states and higher levels of consciousness, how they associate with wisdom and truth and love and universal principles, and so you're seeing how they merge at a universal level. So you have physical clairvoyance, emotional clairvoyance, mental clairvoyance, psychic clairvoyance, creative clairvoyance, individual insights to clairvoyance, and then the universal insight to clairvoyance. And so you have each one of these fields. And some people see different fields in the clairvoyance stage. So you hear readers, some read at certain psychic levels, physical psychic, emotional psychic, mental psychic. Or psychic levels, or creative psychic, individual psychic, or spiritual universal psychic levels. And so there is, with the head and the heart, this is where the master works, and he works with the two powers of objectivity and detachment. Objectivity and detachment. These are the first two witnesses of consciousness. Objectivity at the heart, detachment at the brow. So what we're doing is seeking to open this heart, open heart, quiet mind, open sight, quiet spirit. So you'll find that your spirit is very quiet with open awareness when you're working with that violet fire. And so you'll find, I'm real still inside, that everything is moving, but I'm still. And sometimes you'll feel like you're still and the world is moving. Like you're driving down the road and everything is moving and your car is standing still. And you look down the street and you're going 60 miles an hour. But you have no sensation of movement because you're in this detached spiritual state and the world is moving. You start getting these reverse polarities. And so that's what we're doing, reverse polarities. But at this point, you see everything moving. Where before, when you were moving along with it, the only other thing you could see is whatever you focused on. Then you got it from focusing. So you have the difference between focus and expansion, contraction, an expansion of sight. If you look at my eye, you can see the rest of my body very readily. If you look at my stomach, it's hard to see my eye, isn't it? See? Because why? The eye focuses your attention, the stomach broadens it, too, because there's nothing here to focus you. So if you look here, you see all this, and your awareness is open. Okay? But if you focus on the eye, everything is concentrated, and you see everything else. So it's expanded concentration or contracted concentration. So the third eye has the ability to expand or contract its energy. So it can look into the physical, emotional, mental, psychic, creative, individual, spiritual realms in a concentrated way of focus, or it can expand. And so that's what you're learning at this point, is to expand that or contract that focus. It can also bring things that are far away, very close, and things are very close, far away. You can look and see the atoms and the atomic structure of an individual, or you can look and see all of the creation. You can look and see all the planets standing out there and the stars, and you can look at the whole mental structure turning into space with the clairvoyant, or you can look at a single atom. You see, and look into the atom and see its proton, electron, its movement. So you have this contraction and expansion, and you have this ability to bring things that are far close and things that are close far. And you have to get stabilized. Now, what stabilizes you? Attitude. If anybody's ever taken flight training, they know that they have to keep the plane right on the horizon with an attitude. You drop below the horizon and start dropping. If you raise it up, it'll start raising, right? So your attitude has to be on your goal, on your horizon. You're on the horizon line. And if you do not have this on the horizon line, if you tilt one way or the other, you'll start drifting off to the planet too, you see? And then your clairvoyance also, if you start tilting one way or the other, you start drifting off in that direction. The way to find out which way you're drifting is to concentrate on a candle. Get a candle, light the candle, concentrate on the candle, just look at it, and close your eyes. And then watch what happens to the flame. Now that flame will make an image on the inner sight, and you can go for 30 seconds of watching it. As soon as you close it, if you're stable in your attitude, the flame will stay directly in front of you, direct there and clear. It won't move. If your attitude is turned off to assertiveness or aggressive side, it will start drifting off to the right. If you're more passive, it will drift off to the left. If you're down, put the energy down, it'll start drifting down. If you bring on ascension energy, it'll start drifting up. You see? So you can tell which direction you're going by your what attitude you have by looking at the screen, because it has a direct response to how you view things. And you don't see anything outside, you're only seeing inside. Anything that's out here is reflecting inside of you, and you're aware of it. If you close your eyes, you're still seeing inside. Okay. And so all sight, everything, all sound, all experiences, all senses reflect on the filament of your mind inside. Well, you're not your mind, and if you think of your mind, then you're affected by what you're seeing. If you are spirit looking at mind, and mind looks at matter, then you get a view. Spirit looking at mind, mind looking at matter. So the mind is looking through this body of matter. And you're getting that reflection, impression in the filament of your mind. And what we're talking about is a very pliable part of your mind, your imagination. And you can start imagining things inside, the next thing you will see those outside. And if you do that strong enough, you may suffer in the illusion of projected images. And some people do that when they get under drugs and they get alcoholism to the point that they go into DTs and those kind of things. They start seeing things outside because of their imagination. The inner and the outer shield is broken. Well, the mystic breaks that shield on purpose. But he doesn't break that shield until he reaches balance. Polarity balance between his male and female polarity, or her male and female polarity. It means in you, you must control your passiveness, ability to be passive, and your ability to be assertive. And you need to control these two fields. Actually, it's assertive, passive, assertive hand, passive hand. But I said the opposite because I'm really left hand person. So when I was a kid, they made this right hand. This group is left to right hand. I come from the East, and that was the thing. And when I was in this path of assertive, my nature comes out. So you will find that you may be a left-handed person and been forced to right-handed consciousness and put in the wrong hemisphere of your brain. We need to balance these two. This balances both sides of the brain. Well, that's me. I'm going through that. You see, that means you're looking coming from the throat, or you're trying to look out through your brow, through your imagination, when actually you're setting above imagination, looking through image to higher mind, to understanding, to the thinking mind, to your emotions, to your physical body. So you're looking down through these various stages. And if you have a block in one of those stages, you have to look through that block. If you have a hang up with a certain thing, when you look out from your aura, you have to look through that filter that you see. Clear seeing is not having any blocks in your way of perception, that you can see clearly. You don't have any decisions about this person. When I'm looking at you, I make no decisions, no assumptions, no comparisons, no judgments. I have no sensations of them. I make no opinions of them. I just love him, and that's all I'm doing. At that moment, I'm open. Love is acceptance and openness and being free. You see? So in that love, I'm loving them, and so I see them. He's got a reason for me, so he knows I see him. And he knows I can see deep in him. Because I don't have a block, I can see from the deep place in myself. It's a life attracts a life. When you're at, you see him, and you see that point in others. So if you're having trouble detecting the troubles of others, you're finding peace and harmony, then you'll find the peace and harmony for others. You'll be able to lead into that because you've overcome the discordant energies to come to the harmonious energy. So this balance is very important. Now, how do you keep this balance? You don't go over here and try to hold up this one and go over here and try to hold up this one. You stand in the center. You stay centered. You stay centered. You maintain a center. Now, where is the your center? Where's the center you can do all things from? You have all possibilities. You don't have all possibilities from your physical center. You have limitations to physical action. You can only do so much. If your physical is unlimited, you can lift up this house. But it's limited. It can't lift up this house. It might need help. Could somebody help you with that couch over there? Okay. Sometimes you need help lifting up this body. You do have physical limitations, but you have emotional limitations, you have mental limitations, you have psychic limitations, you have creative limitations, you have individual limitations, you have universal limitations, but in God all possibilities. So when you're in God in you as you, you're that state, you have now all possibilities. So you're looking at God through you, and the mystic has to see as God sees you. How does God see you? Now, he's not looking at tunnel vision out through two eyes, is he? He can look all around. He can see up and down and in and out and back and forth and sideways and other dimensions and planes and phases of being and consciousness that have no limitation to this physical plane like we are conditioned by physical sight. So now you want to see the statues. Now we're flying. We can look down, we can look up, we can look sideways, we can look backwards, we can look side to side, we can look in and out. And we can do it all at the same time. One does not disturb the other. Now, for the concept of intellect, it will not work. Because all they have to work with is what their intelligence gives them by their experiences with matter. Okay? And so the intellect will not give you God's conscious sight. This is clairvoyant ability. It won't give you that ability. It comes from spirit. And so that's why you call it spiritual sight. You're not saying physical sight, or astral or emotional sight, or mind or mental sight, or psychic sight, or creative sight, or sight from your individuality, or sight from the universal state. You're now a drop in the ocean, and you're still the ocean. Okay? You're a drop in the ocean, or a wave on the ocean, but you're still all the ocean too. But you may be conscious of the wave rather than the rest of yourself. And that's what happens when we come into this life. You get conscious of this wave of life in the physical, emotional, mental makeup, persona, personality, and we begin to associate I am that. And we identify with that. Now you notice that it's in your chant. Law of identification. I am that. When it translates to English, it has much deeper meaning to that in 应该跟现在我跟什么关系的一点，我们是跟这些东西跟 I am that。 Now once you put that power in, what do you say you are? That's what you become. You say, gee, I'm a person, I'm nothing else. You become the person, much as us. But if you say, every day and every way I'm getting better and better, every day and every way you get better and better. I'm the master, I am the master. It's not I'm going to be the master, or I have been, I am. I am. It's always a present statement, a positive statement of presence. I am that. And whatever you say that is what you are. And so the I am that gives you the basic power of sight and identification. It's different than trying to become something by the system of it. Intellect is a system. So when you're looking at thoughts, that is a system of thought for everyone in this room. Some of the basic system here is that you put the subject and the adjective and the sentence in a certain way. Eastern mind reverses that. The tree, subject, is beautiful. The tree is beautiful. Or look at the beautiful tree. It's a beautiful tree. What a beautiful tree. Okay. Now we're putting the adjective before the subject. You know, we're going to say, the tree is beautiful. Okay. We got the subject and the adjective. It's in the action. And so that's a different thought form. So a lot of times the Western mind can't understand the Eastern mind, the Eastern mind can't understand the Western mind because they're reversing polarities in it. The Eastern consciousness builds fields within fields within fields within fields to the center God within. Okay. Man in the Western mind builds fields within out to God is out there. Eastern mind says it's in, Western mind says it's out. Okay. And the truth is, it's in, it's out. And you're the one experiencing either one of those. See? You're the one who has the power over both of those. And good and bad, if you're not good or bad, you're the one experiencing good or bad. You're not good or bad, you're experiencing either good or bad. And never mix you, the pure one, up with the problem or the substance that you are identifying with at that moment for experience, but you have to have the ability to detach from it. Now emotions want the whole object. Desire is just to grasp and hold on to things. And this higher consciousness is giving you, you're not to hold on to anything, but to be free to go anywhere at will, instantly and spontaneous. So by the description that you're giving me today, you're giving to this most important stage of development the ability to have spontaneous, free movement. And to do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and do what you want to do. But see, the discipline gives you the power. You must create a harmonious discipline, or you will have chaotic energy when you reach that stage. You need to have a discipline. And if you can't do it at the first thing in the morning, do it at meal time. Because you usually eat and get hungry in the same hour. When you go to the bathroom at a particular time. Do it when you go to the bathroom. Put it on some other rhythm. So that it has a harmonious rhythm pattern to you. Okay? Every morning I get up, the first thing I do, I go to the bathroom. Well, I'm in the bathroom, we're in the background, and boom, 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 boom. I had to watch sometimes I dry up, you know. I have to wash myself off. Because I go to the bathroom, I forget about going to the bathroom, and dry on me, right? Instead of wiping over an Indian, there's no problem like that, because if you get stuck in a tuck and you have to wash yourself off anyway. But over here, you use safe, you see. And so I was getting there, I start chewing, next thing I know, an hour has gone by. I have to get the wash, I have to wash myself. So I started what I can and make sure I wipe myself and step on chanting. Okay. So this is just a little thing that might be in my deal here before I have them. Anyway, so those kind of things happen. Don't get nervous about those things. And don't get upset if you go an hour. You know what that gives you? That gives you 1 hour of sustained concentrated attention that you can put on your job, you can put on your relationship, you can put on your goal, you can put on the things that you desire, the things that are in your goal, the things in your heart. You can put that sustained concentrated attention. How many people do you know can hold their point for hours? How many people do you know can hold their point for 5 minutes? Have you ever gone into conversation and within 20 seconds your brain is lost? Because every 20 seconds the average mind jumps to another thought. So what you're doing is you're extending thought concentration, the ability to hold one power longer than any other power. But we're now getting the basic concept to you, the basic power to you, that extended, voluntary, concentrated, free attention. Attention that is concentrated and free and voluntary. So that takes disassociation with all attachments. It takes detachment, ability to fly. As you're working with this power, and you're getting this concentrated attention, this expansion of consciousness, you begin to learn how that principle will work in your business, in your relationships. Now you're called an adept. Adept is the one who can take what you're learning through this meditation and through these practices and adapt that principle into action in your world and your affairs. As a mystic, I do it just strictly for God. I do nothing for my own sake. I do it all for God's sake. Because I remember one time, this master, I thought he was upset with him. He turned around and said, "For God's sake, do it." I said, "No, he's getting nasty with me." But he was saying, "Do it for God's sake." And I was sitting there and I said, "Why would a master tell me for God's sake, do it?" Because I remember as a child, my father turning to me and saying, "For God's sake, why don't you listen to me? Or do this or do that." My mother would say that. Some other people would say that. And I got the wrong idea of what for God's sake was. I thought it was punishment. I thought it was, you know, because I was so rotten or wrong or something useless. But here I was doing it for the sake of God. And so I got that awareness. And I started doing things. Well, that breaks all karmic ties. You have no karma if you do it for God's sake. If you do it for yourself, you're creating karma. Meaning stuck attention, energy that is bound. It binds your heart. It binds your creative power. It binds your sight, your insights and perception. You need to be free. Free heart. Free. We're all looking for freedom, and this is a free state. But freedom is scary, because if it is not controlled by self-determination, by self-discipline, by self-acceptance, by self-mastery, by self-understanding, by self-respect, by self-love, if it isn't controlled by those levels, it just drifts. It goes spacing. That's why we're telling you discipline. The power is in the discipline. And the person who does not do the discipline will find business chaotic, will find relationships chaotic, and always on the edge. It's about the following this way or that way. Where it might go great or it might go bad. And finding out right on the edge. Because sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes I get it on that time, sometimes I don't get it on that time. Like when we have a retreat, the people would come every morning. We're doing our attendance, certain time we're eating breakfast, and certain time we're doing other things, we've got a schedule. Doing classes at a certain time, I'm moving people through areas of consciousness. There is sequential movement, it is a spiritual science, and there's nothing more exacting than a spiritual science. And when I hit this state, I began to get spiritual beings appearing. And one of those was Saint Germain. I think I've told this story, some of you have heard this before, so I'm going to tell it again anyway. I was meditating one morning, and Saint Germain came into the meditation, and he said, "Tonight, be out of your body at 8 o'clock." And so I never questioned the master. I always do what they say, because I'm obedient. I'm not going to break the first law that was broken. The first law that man broke was disobedience. He said he could have anything, and eat anything, and do anything but that one tree. And his disobedience went to the one tree, didn't he? That's the law of disobedience. That he established by not being obedient. And so now it's the heritage of all humans to be disobedient. You see? But it's God's heritage for you to be obedient. So I wasn't going to break this law of obedience. So I promised God I'll do what I'm told to do. And for me, that wanted always to be free and nobody telling me what to do, and I'm going to do it myself and I'll get this done, don't worry about it. All that kind of attitude that I had. I had to reverse that whole thing. So I said, okay. And so at 8 o'clock came, I was standing outside of my body. And Saint Germain came down through the ceiling. come down there and light. So I said, I want to see the books of prophecy that my grandmother saw, that David saw, and I would like to see these books. So with that, up through the ceiling, I could see the room, I could see my body sitting back there, I could see the ceiling as we were going through, I could see the roof of the building, and I could still see the room without the roof stopping me. I could go up into the, went up in the closet, I could see through the closet, see the room, see my body. Nothing was lost, no sight was lost there. When I was looking back, I had no obstructions. And that's clairvoyant, the ability to look into the bodies and see the bones or the intestines or blood circulation, those kind of things. It's on the high side of the ultraviolet ray. If you look on the light spectrum, vibrational spectrum, you'll see that that vibrates at X-rays. When you get to the high part of the violet spectrum, there's an X-ray power there. Well, you get X-ray vision. You start seeing into things. Metaphysically, you start seeing into situations and emotions and mind and all things we were just discussing. Anyway, so we went up in the clouds and we went through the light, and we had a light flash, and then we started coming back down through the clouds and started going down to the earth, right into the earth and into a cavern, a passageway, and we walked down this passageway, and his light, St. Germain's light was so bright that the whole passageway was lit up. And we went into this little chamber, and there was a book sitting there. Instead of opening up the way our books open up, it opened up the opposite way. So I went in there, and I turned the page of the book, and it had some foreign language in there. It must have been all Jewish letters or something like that. I don't know, but I couldn't read it. So I turned to St. Germain and says, I can't read this. He says, you didn't ask to read it, you asked to see it. And with that, he took my hand, took me up and put me back in my body and left. And I'm sitting there going, what happened? You know, did I do something wrong? The first thing, personality will say, what did I do wrong? Did I do something wrong? I'm sorry, I say that. And nothing's coming back, so I've got to meditate. So I began to meditate, and I realized, I got the impression, spiritual science is the most exacting science. If you want something, ask for exactly what you want. Decree what you want. Make a statement of what you want. Pray for what you want. Make it clear, simple, direct, open and direct. No around the corner, no all of this fancy things. Be open and direct. Make it very specific, clear. Create that, and then release it. You don't just create that's running out of you. You hold it in the creation until you get the creation the way your desire or your want or your need is, or your goal is, and then you release it. So I got this exacting principle that spiritual science is exacting. If you ask to see, you see. If you ask to hear, you hear. If you knock, it shall be open. If you ask, you shall receive. The call compels the answer. All of these things have been told to us. And so now they make sense, because I had a direct experience. So I pass it on to you for that experience. So when you're asking for something, you're seeing something, you're looking for something, be specific of what you want to see. Now you're getting freedom. But you're looking from transcendent of imagination, through imagination, through your creative powers, through your experiences of knowledge and environmental consciousness, through your mind thinking and goal and form orientation, through your emotions and sensations, through your senses to the physical. So keep this point of view. That's what I'm looking for. I'm in the crown of humanity. I'm in the crown. I've been crowned. I'm in the kingdom. I get crowned when I get to the kingdom. Because everybody's the king. Everybody's the queen, you see. There isn't slaves and servants and all this. We're all a servant of God, you see. So as we look at this, what is the servant of God? That's God's body, God's emotions, God's mind, and you're in it. And you've got a part of it. A drop in the ocean. But you're still God experiencing. So you're all of it, and you're still limited. Subjective, objective. Subjective, objective. You're in subjective state, objective state. Objective, me, and that. Subjective, I am that. You see? There's a different point of view. Now you're merging with it. Now we're beginning to get to this unity. The unity of individuality. Physiologically, psychologically, spiritually, at one. The balance. So you're balancing these three rays. The male and female polarity is balanced by standing in the center path. The golden mean in between, the straight and narrow, the middle way, the center of the cycle.
all different points of view of the same thing. So we're looking from this point of being. I'm not male or female, I am. Does it say I'm a man, I'm a woman? I am. Ego wants to claim the other. But spirit is always perfect, pure, whole, and all. You are always perfect, pure, whole, and all. Indivisible. Nothing can divide you up. That's individual. So you're spiritual, individual. And that individual can be focused in one body, or focused in all the bodies in this room, or on this whole room and everything that's in it, or this planet and everything that's on it, this universe and every plane, dimension, phase, or consciousness that is experiencing it, wherever God's experiencing, you're experiencing. And you're starting to get this concept of you do the least, you do the me. You do the least, you do the greatest. And so if you're getting into this awareness, now, how do you get the sight to look at somebody else's thoughts? You watch your own. That's the playground. That's the workshop. That's the laboratory. Your own mind. But you must be objective and detached from it. You not jump on every train that's come along. You know, this train is not that train. Don't jump on those trains. You know, maybe you're not going to the destination you're looking for. And choose which ones you want to choose now. All the thoughts that come to you are not your thoughts. Did you know that? All those thoughts that are in there, they're not your thoughts. You're having radios make impressions upon you to think a certain way. You're having TVs making impressions on you. You have bosses making impressions on you. Your mother, father, sister, brother, society. You have books. You have all of these things making impression on you, and you start thinking along those forms. What thoughts are yours, and which ones have been given to you and impregnated? Now you've got to realize none of them are yours, then. None of them are yours. Thought is thought. And when we're close together, like in a group, when we were teenagers and we were closer together than we are now, did you ever run around a bunch of teenagers and two or three people all of a sudden say, hey, let's go to something to eat? You go, oh, well, you know, you owe me a Coke for saying the same time, are you? You can wear a game, right? Remember that? It's because they were in the group mind. They were in the group mind. They weren't in the individual mind. We've lost group mind because we want to be independent. See, we lose it because we lose dependency. When we have dependency, now we have access. When we're independent, we're now separated from it. Now when you go to the mature state, you have inner dependence. Everything depending on everything else. That's the adult mature stage. Now you go back to group consciousness. But some people don't make the whole shift. They get adolescent at the independent stage, and they stay adolescent. And there's some people who are adolescent still when they're 70, 80 years old, and they're about to cope, they're still adolescent because they're still independent. Oh, no, give it to me, I'll be on the shelf. Runs away from the nurse, takes the pills himself, they're supposed to put them in his mouth. Oh! No, it doesn't depend on it, you see. And you can watch this old independence, and I've watched it in it's in all ages. In all ages. From 7 up. You got all that. Not coke up and crush up, but 7 up. We have it. Okay, that little silly saying there, put that in your subconscious mind deeper than if I would just let that pass, you see. So you have ways of emphasizing to your consciousness what you desire. In the same way with your sight. You're now looking for freedom. You want to get above those emotions. You want to get above that mind. You want to get above those old experiences, above those old actions, so that you can command them. You're the master. You're the master of your life. And we'll talk more about the mastery next week. As we come into this clairvoyant ability and this vision, we're not limited by time, space, and circumstance either. We can look into any time period, past, present, or future. Now, how do you know where you're looking? If it's past, present, or future? The past is a solid image because it already has experience and the qualities of life in it. And so it'll be solid. When you look in the future, it's probability, so it's a vaguer image. It's not as intense and it's not as clear. You see? In the present, you've got change. Changing, ever changing, but never changing presence. It's always changing. it's never changing, but it's ever changing, it sounds like there's a contradiction going on there, doesn't it? But start looking from those points of view, physical, mental, spiritual point of view. Past, present, future. You're getting this consciousness. The past will be solider than is the future. And the present will be a movement. It'll have a vibrance of movement, of life. The past gave you now. So you are now the sum total of everything you've ever been. That's what you're at the presence. So you have all power at the present. But if you're always reflecting on the past, you have the limitations of wherever you're reflecting. If you reflect when you were a teenager, or you reflect when you were a young adult, or you reflect when you're middle-aged or old, you're reflecting off of the presence, you're going to see other things in that way, and you're going to react out of that reflection. Because now you see your image of yourself is that image. Now I'm still 17. But I was a know-it-all at 17. Now I don't need to know it all. I have access to all. That's different. So someone asked a question, I have access to the answer. It's better to know where to go get the information is to try to carry it all around. Why do you want to put the world on your back and walk around with it, you see? When you can move all around the world. So in your consciousness, you don't want to look back here at the past, it's already fixed, and you're better than you were before. See, every day you're getting better and better, more expanded. The principle of the universe is that it's expanding. The planets are getting further away from the sun, all of these other stars and planets, everything's moving. It's an expanding universe. But there are portions of it that are contracting, impacting, imploding, as well as exploding. Now you can get into the limited implosion, or you can get into the expansion unlimited. So there's no end to this expansion. And that's the spiritual point of view. If you're looking, oh, I'm limited. I only have so much education. I only have so much talent. I only have so much experience. I only have so much knowledge. That's the limited point of view. In fact, I have all possibility. It's the difference between two salesmen going to South America. The first one goes down and he says, gee, none of these people got shoes on, and I'm a shoe salesman, so I guess I can't sell any shoes, and he goes back to the office. The other one goes down there, and he comes back, and he says, my God, let's get a truckload. I got it down there, the market's wide open. And the guy says, no, there's none down there, because nobody's wearing shoes. You see? So which point are you at? The one, oh, well, they're not wearing shoes, so I can't sell anything there. Or are you saying, gee, look, the market's wide open, I can sell everybody's shoes. The guy selling refrigerators to Eskimos, you see. They can use the refrigerator too. They say, well, gee, they don't need a refrigerator because they got ice and everything up there, you know. And the other guy says, nobody has them. Well, we can sell them to everybody. That's the difference of your point of view, and you will have that type of point of view by being either past-orientated or all-possibility future-orientated. Next week we'll talk about putting charges in the future to come to. And how to do that. Let's talk more about this future and past. Now, I find things, when I'm looking clairvoyantly, the things that are in the past seem further away, but more solid. And the things that are about to happen are right up close. You see, things are about to happen come up very close in clairvoyance. Because they're very close to merging with you. The others have already merged and passed. You see? And so you're looking, the past is there. Present. Future is all possibility. So it's not over here, it's not over here. All possibility is everywhere. See? The past is fixed on a stream. If you want to look at your life stream, you look into yourself and you find your past. You see? And as you look, you are at the end of your life right now. Right now you're at the end of it. But you're also at the beginning of it. This is the statement, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. If you look at a circle, no matter where you point on the circle, that is the Alpha and the Omega. That's the beginning and end. See? Now that you're at the point, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end, now you have control over your future. So you don't have control looking at the past. You have control by being present, by being the Alpha and the Omega. Are you getting this? Concept. This is a spiritual concept of the third eye, looking past, present, future. circle. I'm at the end of my life. I'm at the beginning of my life. I'm at the end of all the things I've done. I'm at the beginning of all possibility. That's freedom. Now, if you don't change the things that have gone on in the past, and you come to the present, they'll be the future. If you don't change the things of the past, when they come in your present state, they will become the future. Have you ever said, why do I keep going through this over and over and over again? Seems like I keep making the same mistake, or I keep doing this thing over and over again. How come I keep doing that? It's because you're looking at the past. And you get emotionally and mentally involved with the past. You charge the past with substance. Now the past becomes the future. By charging it with substance. By charging it with mental substance, emotional substance, physical form. And you'll find yourself meeting the same thing over and over again because you get involved with it. But if you're objective and detached, that passes and you decide, now I'm going to do this. Now we planted this back in the third class when we said, when a negative feeling comes up, immediately put your mind on a positive feeling. If a negative thought comes on, you immediately transfer your mind to positive energy. When a positive and negative come together, they neutralize, and now you're in the middle way. You see. Otherwise, you get caught in the swing of the pendulum, where you let go of the negative, and the next thing you know, you're over here in the positive, and everybody else is wrong. And over here, you're justifying everything's okay, and those guys are wrong. No. You're not to be over here or over here, you're to be in the middle. You see, in the middle way. So watch the swing of the pendulum. It's like the guy stops drinking, he's going to tell everybody stop drinking. The guy stops swearing until everybody stops swearing. Stop smoking, everybody should stop smoking. If I'm a vegetarian, everybody should be a vegetarian. You see? He starts getting this kind of energy. That's when you swing in the pendulum. Well, everybody doesn't need what you have. But there is somebody that needs what you have. So that's the service. Service is fulfilling needs. See? So if you're a service and you begin to be a service in the present, you start, all these things you've overcome, you start helping others overcome. If you overcome anger, you can help others overcome anger. If you overcome limitation, you help others overcome limitation. Whatever you overcome, that's who's going to come to you to overcome it. And if you're still fighting it in yourself, you'll certainly fight it in them. If you're trying to correct a habit in you, you'll start seeing that habit in others. Want to go like this, so I'll notice everybody else's hand movement. You see? A like attracts a like. Whatever you pay attention to, that'll come to consciousness, and it'll come to consciousness everywhere. So if you pay attention to the good in you, the height of all of your levels in you, you'll start seeing the good and the height in others, and when they come and share something low with you, you give them what you see high to take them out of it. When they see something they did wrong, you show them something light that they did right. You immediately began to neutralize the swing. And you began to help them to center. Now the whole conversation for the last 25 minutes has been to center. How are we centering between the past and the future? Present. Alpha and Omega, here and now. To let go of that. Don't reiterate it. Do not create it again by giving it power. Attention is energy. If you pay attention to it, you're energizing it. Whatever you pay attention to, you energize. You give it power by this energy. The energy will build up to a force, and the force will become a power, and if you keep giving it enough power, it will overpower you. See? So how do you get rid of it? Don't feed it. Don't give it attention. Don't give it energy. Don't let it grow in you. Don't entertain that thought. Don't entertain that old feeling. What would you rather feel? See, now you are self-mastering. You're beginning to get control of your destiny. I do what I want to do. I go where I want to go. I am what I am because I desire to be this. And I've done it by control of destiny. Not because I'm subject to everybody else's laws. I'm not subject to the laws of nature. I'm not subject to the laws anything on this earth or man's law, I'm subject to God's law only. And God's law has all possibility. Infinite. ruined your prosperity, plural. You've ruined yourself from having, because you say, I don't have that. That isn't the truth of spirit, because God has everything. Spirit has everything. There is no lack. It's a matter of claiming your prosperity. You have free will, a choice. Never lose the choice. Never lose the free will. You see? Because in spirit, you have everything. You only need to choose at your free will choice. But in personality, you lack. You have want. You see? So don't say, I want this, I want that. You're saying, I lack that. You would be closer to having it by saying, I am that. I am that. You see? People try to pile up money to get substance, like houses and cars and planes and clothes and things like that. Why get the money? You don't have to worry about it. If you get the other things, what do you need the money for? Right? So see yourself with those things. Not that I have to go out here and work, then I got to get money, and I get so much money for working, and I only get so much money for working if I have this kind of talent or this kind of education or that kind of education. You see? I have to do this first. No. That's personality. You're now moving to a point of claiming it. See it and be it. See it and be it. I am that. I am that. Now, how do you get free? All of you are starting to reach the state of awareness, aware of awareness. Self aware of self. Consciousness, aware of consciousness. You aware of you and nothing else. That's the point called samadhi, the point of perfect self-absorption. From that point, you can come out as anything. And if you're winning that point now in your meditation, when you go in, whatever you are, whatever you want to be, come out as that. I went in as a chef. I came out as a spiritual teacher, and I've been a spiritual teacher ever since. And I only did it once. I didn't do it a dozen times. I didn't play with the power and say, okay, I'm now a spiritual teacher. Am I really a spiritual teacher? There was no doubt. When you come out, I am that. Now, how do you have that power? If your subconscious mind doesn't have the structure, it'll collapse and will not support the image. You see? So we said, every day, every way, I'm getting better and better. I will persist till I succeed. I will persist till I succeed. I will persist till I succeed. I am a success. I am a success. I am a success. Boom. That's it. Boom. Boom. That's it. Boom. Boom. That's it. Boom. Boom. That's it. Boom. Nothing else. The thought is Om Tetsat Om. The voice is Om Tetsat Om. The vision is Om Tetsat Om. The feeling is Om Tetsat Om. The creative power is Om Tetsat Om. The feeling, the knowledge, everything is Om Tetsat Om. There is nothing but Om Tetsat Om. I am that. A pure charge of positive identification in the subconscious mind to support when I say, I am the teacher. I am the teacher. I am the master. I am the spiritual one. When you come out from that point. So you need the structure in your subconscious mind. So you go around chanting. Some people say, how silly that is. The guy sits around playing with his beads and chanting all day. Why doesn't he go out and work like the rest of us? You know, that's what the average man is saying about the spiritual guy. See, he sits around there, he doesn't even wear clothes like the rest of us. He wears a dress sometimes. And he's there, got his robe on. Was he getting ready to go to bed with the robe? Why doesn't he put a suit on like the rest of us? That's the ego man talking to the spiritual man. And the spiritual man says, oh, look, a waste of life. He's piling up all that stuff. It's going to go rotten anyway. His house is going to get old. His car is going to get old. He's going to have to replace it. He's going to have to get something else, you know. Why is he trying to get all that stuff? Because it's all transitory. It isn't going to last. You see? That's silly to the spiritual man while sitting around doing the mantra nice to the physical man is silly. The different point of view. The different point of view. Well, here you are programming a dynamic structure and pattern into the subconscious mind. That's why the discipline is so important. Do your meditation. Every chance you get, do your meditation. Until the meditation does you. Do you have to concentrate on your breath? No, the breath is breathing. Do you have to concentrate on your meditation? If you do, it is not breathing. It is not living. See what I'm saying? The principles have to become living in you. The word has to become life in you. You must be the living word. You must be the living light. You must be the living principle of that. You must be love in action, truth in action. Oh, I'm trying to love everybody. It's so wonderful. And inside you're saying, oh, I don't love her, though. You know what she did, and him, and I. But outside you're saying, but they're all imaginations doing something else, isn't it? Thoughts doing something else. That's a split person. You know, find yourself schizophrenic. You know, the good side will be fighting the bad side. Oh, you're so good, you're so wonderful. No, you're not going to allow you. No, you're good. Oh, well, tell me this. Start beating on yourself, you see. And some people do that. Love yourself. Respect yourself. If you don't want something, let it go. If somebody hands you a hot potato, you can stand there and hold it. You know? If somebody hands you the hot end of a poker, you're going to grab a hold of it. No, you don't have to take that. You don't have to take any thought, any feeling, any experience, any of those things anymore. See? Detach yourself. Be free from it. Now I have all possibilities. Now I can act spontaneous in the moment. You know, if you want this system, put it on and use it. If you don't want to take it off and let it over here, it's going to be there later. You understand? If you have a job, when you go, put the job on. When you leave the job, take it off. See? So that you're free. Always keep the freedom. Not a cold detachment. Not a cold detachment. Not a hot detachment. Just detachment. Pure. Simple. Keep it simple spiritually. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple spiritually. Keep that kiss system. You see? Love yourself. Respect yourself. And when you're looking in there, see the best for yourself. I'm okay. See? Now, you may look at me and not think I'm okay. But if that makes you happy, that's okay. Look that way. See? All I'm interested in is your happiness, your joy, your freedom. And so if it makes you happy to do that, do that. I said to my wife, well, if you don't like to come to class, that's fine. You do what you like to do. Be free. But all I would do is class anymore. See? Okay, fine. You are you, I am me. We are individuals experiencing together. Never try to put your will over another person. The will is to use on yourself. The desire is to use on yourself. The actions are to use for yourself. See? And don't try to put your will on others, your desires on others, your actions on others. Let them do that for themselves. If they agree with what you're doing, they'll create the action in themselves to do that. That's what we're working at, this detached state, respect of the individual in there. You may not like that, they may have a stinking personality, but there's always a beautiful individual there. You see? They may say the wrong thing or do something wrong there. The personality may be polluted. And they may have got that from mom or dad or from mother or sister, society, or they may have put it on themselves. Never forget that there's an individualization of God there. See God in each other. Look for that power. Look for that consciousness. Seeing God in each other. Seeing Christ in each other. Seeing the good in each other. Seeing the truth in each other. Seeing the love in each other. Look for whatever you're seeking, you shall find. And if you look for trouble, I'll tell you, find trouble. If you look for love, you'll find love. You see. Now, in this state of sight, of viewing these various levels of consciousness, the way you get deeper into this, you won't find it in books. God isn't in books, and the experience isn't in a book. It isn't coming through me, and you're going to get it from me. You get it from you by giving it to you, by accepting it for you. If you wish healing powers to flow through you, accept healing powers flowing through you. Don't say they have to come from me or from someone else. God can come through you like he came through every other you. You see? If you wish wisdom, give wisdom. If you love, give love. If you wish truth, give truth. Start initiating the flow, and you begin to flow, you see. You begin to flow. You let that flow. You're moving from these three chakras.
Blessings of light.